Hello, I'm Mike Clark, podcast editor for Trials Change Lives, and this is one of a series of podcasts produced jointly with the James Lind Library to highlight the need for trials to be of high quality if their findings are to change lives for the better. I highlight the general need to keep biases out of trials by looking at the specific challenge of minimising bias when the results are being analysed. This is important because no matter how well a trial has been done, its findings could become misleading if knowledge of the results influences decisions about the analysis and reporting. For example, studies might be stopped earlier than planned or analysed in ways that make the results more favourable to one or other of the treatments. If these biases make the reported results of the trial unreliable, it's no longer a good guide to what is likely to happen when the treatment is used in the future. Biases after looking at study results can occur after the formal statistical analysis or through more informal routes. For example, if the researchers are observing patient outcomes because they are looking after them in the trial, they may get a sense of the accumulating results, such as who is doing well or badly, and alter the planned analyses. Avoiding this is one of the reasons for keeping people blind to the allocated treatment, such as by using a placebo. When the study results are being analysed more formally, this is likely to provide a clearer guide to what the results will be if the analyses that were planned at the outset are changed, and we need to be careful if any such changes are made. During a trial, accumulating results might be checked to see if there is clear evidence of benefit or harm that might make it unethical to continue. These early stopping decisions can lead to bias if trials stop on random highs or lows, especially if there is a vested interest in closing the study and making the interim results the final results. After the trial, altering the analyses following a look at the results might lead to bias in several ways. The primary outcome might be changed, or there could be changes to how different types of patients are brought together in subgroup analyses, selective reporting of particular results, or changes to the mathematical techniques that are used. If users of the reports of studies are to have confidence in their eventual publications, they need to be reassured that biases were not introduced after the earlier results had been seen. They need to know whether the researchers deviated from their original plans. In recent years, some important developments have helped with this. Since 2013, Consort for Protocols has provided guidance for how researchers should set out their plans clearly in advance. And the COMET initiative is drawing increasing attention to how core outcome sets can be the foundation for the outcomes to measure, analyse and report in every trial in a particular condition. In summary, it is of course tempting for people to change their views on what is important about a study after they know the results, but such biases need to be minimised by careful planning of what analyses will be done, and users of the research need to be wary if changes have been made. By minimising bias in the analysis of their data, trialists are much more likely to provide reliable results that will be trusted and that will truly change lives.